I want to invite everyone to just look around the room for a minute. And you have permission to crane your necks and turn all around and kind of get a picture of the landscape here. How many of the people's stories do you know? I mean, do you know where they were born or what their interests and hobbies might be, what their family structure is? So I'm going to give us about 4 minutes to stand up, and I want you to pick someone you do not know that well. Don't go to your buddy. Somebody you, come on, everyone can stand up if you're able. I want you to find someone you do not know that well and introduce yourself and just begin to say hi. And so I'm going to set my timer, so go for it. You can get in twos or threes, it's okay. Well, that seemed to work pretty well. Nobody died, you know. So I'm glad that you had that opportunity to do that. And you'll find out why in a little bit. Our text for today is from 1 John. And it's going to be chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. And just so you know, after I read, there's going to be a one-question pop quiz. I'll even give you the question. What's the main point? So listen up as John writes. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us love one another with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Okay, pop quiz time. What's John's main point? Love one another. All right, yay, y'all get a passing grade on that. John doesn't cloak what he's writing about. His point is that we in the church need to learn and need to continue loving one another. So let's put some flesh on that bare bones. First off, I wanna settle one possible concern. In the middle of that paragraph, there's a line that reads, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Now, That can be a little troubling because it can be, it sounds like, my loving is what lets us pass from death to life. But love isn't what guarantees our relationship with God. Love is the evidence of our relationship with God. I want you to note the completed tense of the way the sentence begins. We know we have passed from. So we have already moved from, if you remember last week, the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus. We have already been moved by God. We have already been saved or become a believer or follow Jesus Christ or whatever language you want. That has already happened. And now love is the evidence that we have been moved. So we're not earning our way to God by loving people. I'm not thinking, oh my goodness, I need to assure my salvation, so I have to go out and make sure I love people. Love becomes the fruit that grows from the fact that God's love has been poured into my life, I have been brought into God's fold, and now this new aspect of love, of caring for other people, comes out of me. The truth is, that line echoes what Jesus said in John. Next slide. See, love evidences our relationship with the Father. It does not earn our relationship with the Father. It echoes Jesus. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but is crossed over from life to death. See, we've already crossed over. Paul echoes that too. We've already crossed over. That's the whole point of the beginning of that sentence. And then out of that crossing over comes our love. Salvation comes first. Loving others is the evidence of our passing from death to life. So now back to Papa John's main point. Love one another. Love each other. Next slide. In addition to love, I want you to see how often he throws up the phrase brothers or brothers and sisters. It is literally littered throughout this passage. The church John's writing to is moving through a tough time. There's been a splinter in the church. There's been a significant group of people in that church who have left. And unfortunately, they have left because they've changed their understanding of Jesus. And so throughout the letter, John will be hammering home who the real Jesus is. And these people have left the real Jesus, and now they're kind of making up religion as they go along. But I want you to just imagine if a significant group of our church or any church you've been a part of just up and left. First of all, what kind of insecurity would that place in you who were still there? Now also think about the fact that they're actively trying to recruit you to come to them. So throughout this letter, John is correcting their theology. But in this portion of the letter, he's also encouraging them in their heartache. What happens to us when suspicion grows? When suspicion about other people grow in your heart, what happens? We tend to close in. And when we close in, we stop loving. And so as I think about this church, the suspicion about who's right, who's wrong, those people, where do they want us to go, are they pulling anyone else, is shuddering the church, and their natural inclination to love is being dampened by the situation they are in. So Papa John is writing to his people, and he's saying, Maintain your love. Maintain your love, especially for the brothers and sisters who sit around you. That's a reminder that every church body needs to hear. That constant call to actually love the person who's next to you, behind you, across the way in worship. Because God wants His church family to be connected and to love one another. Next slide. So the first call of this two paragraphs is that we love our brothers and sisters. Those same people you stood up to greet earlier. We're to be loving one another. Next slide. And the supreme example of what it means to love is Jesus. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for whom? Our brothers and sisters. If you're ever wondering what love means in a particular situation, think about what Jesus did. First of all, love is action-based. It is not feeling-driven. It is an action done on behalf of or for the benefit of another person. Love puts that other person first. And Jesus sets the highest bar possible for love. How far should we go? Well, Jesus said no to His own life so that we could live. That's as far as it goes. Jesus held back nothing for our benefit. That's the example John gives. Now, are we to martyr ourselves for the sake of some others? I don't think that's what Papa John is saying. I suppose that could be the case. We've heard the stories, particularly in combat, of one brother in arms who will give his life for the sake of others. That's the ultimate sacrifice. But we're not all called to that all the time. What Papa John is saying, he makes very practical in the very next verses. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. How? If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. That's His point. John is calling his people to look across the room and to say, if I know someone that has a need that I can help with, to steal the Nike phrase, go do it. Don't just talk about how much you love. Do it. When I started, I asked everyone to greet somebody that you did not know very well. You want to know why? Because we're not going to know about the needs of other people if we don't know other people. The first step to loving, as John is calling us to love, is to know somebody. To get to know a bit about their life, their circumstance, their situation, and to let them know a little bit about your life, your circumstances, and your situation. One of the easiest and best ways to avoid Jesus' call in this message from John is to insulate ourselves from others. I didn't know they had a need. And if I don't know they have a need, I don't have any compulsion to ask the question, should I step in some way because I can help? It's interesting how topics come to your eyes when you're embedded in something. So this week I read this very short blog. And the essence of the blog was in a single line. Talking to the church, he said, "We don't need friendlier churches. People need friends." Now, one of the things I absolutely love about this church is how friendly and gracious and open-armed we are. You are. You're the church. But like all churches, like every group, we have to constantly be making sure that our arms and our hearts are open to new people. It's easy to be comfortable with the folks we know. And how we do that is a genuine interest in meeting people we haven't met before or don't know very well. It's amazing what connections God can reveal. It would be interesting to hear about some of the connections that happened just in those 4 minutes when you greeted someone you do not know very well. So I think Papa John's comments to his church are applicable to ours and to every church. Love your brothers and sisters. And that means getting to know them a little bit, to see if there's a connection, to find out if there's a need. And then love is doing what you are able to do to help their situation. Now, I do need to step back and be honest about the text in this one other way. God's love does not stop at the door of the church. Our call to love by John is not just for the people in this room or whatever church you may normally be a part of. We can't get off the hook that easily. God's call to love is to love others everywhere. But you need to hear John, who reminds us in the first paragraph that when we love people outside, beyond, others, there are no guarantees that those people will love us back. "Do not be surprised," John wrote, "if the world hates you." Sometimes as we love others, they will not reciprocate. And in fact, sometimes what comes back is hatred. And the question John leaves us with, are we going to allow their response to change our behavior and call to love? And that we should not do. So I close with a simple question. Will you risk loving? And will you risk getting to know someone so that you might love? Think about it. Let's pray. Lord, Papa John is just very straightforward, very clear. And Lord, this ancient word is so on point for our busy world. We may not be insulated by suspicion, but we can become insulated by busyness, by strata, by class. And I pray, Lord, that we would listen up to John's word, to continue to be people who are known for our love of one another in this room, in this church body, and our love for people everywhere. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.